What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. Our mission: to spark hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today.
When you finish a podcast, our hope is that our community would be inspired to live different, to live freely and boldly because of the love of Jesus.
We'll be your hosts. I'm Zach.
And I'm Brooke. Let's go.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Man, I tell you what, we've had two NFL superstar legends the past couple of weeks with Mr. Kurt Warner and Ben Roethlisberger. It has been so incredible just to hear from them, to hear about how God has ultimately been at the source of everything that they're doing and how he's continually working in and through their life when it comes to ministry opportunities, when it comes to just so many things going on for them. But it's so incredible to see the way that they have been able to utilize the platform that he has blessed them with through the game of football. Man, it's just so fun to hear their stories and their testimonies come to life in and throughout these interviews. And I hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have, because they have been a blessing to my heart. You guys, our guest today is another interview that we conducted at our Ignite Men's Impact Weekend a couple weekends back at Thomas Rowe Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. And it's with the current quarterback of the Washington Commanders, Mr. Carson Wentz. You guys, Carson is just an unbelievable guy. Just being able to interact with him, not only in the middle of the interview, but behind the stage and just personal, the dude is just the most humble guy I think I've ever met. I mean, he has some unbelievable accolades that come to his name. He was a five-time FCS national champion at North Dakota State University. That just doesn't happen, people. I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone that has five rings just from college national championships themselves. That's insane. Then he was drafted second overall by the Eagles, the highest pick ever out of the FCS in 2016. But then God does something drastic in his life the next season, his sophomore year, that you guys aren't going to want to miss. One thing that I love about Carson, though, is that his motto, and now his ministry, AO1, what does that mean? An audience of one. That's what he plays for, but more importantly, that's what he lives for. That's the motto that he takes in to being a husband and what he takes into being a dad of two little girls. Man, this dude is the real deal. And he has a heart and a passion for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You guys are not going to want to miss it. Let me introduce you to my new friend, Mr. Carson Wentz.
Carson, what's up, man?
How we doing?
So glad you're here with us. Seriously, likewise. So glad you're here with us. A lot going on, that's for sure. Definitely. And we'll dive into all of that.
Yeah.
How you feeling being here?
I'm excited. Yeah, I've been excited for a while. Looks like a great room. Great group, guys. Sounds like y'all brought some energy. It's good to be here. Excited for it.
Yes. Carson, Lynchburg, Virginia is where we're at. But man, you were actually born not too far from here. Raleigh, North Carolina. Couple of brothers, right? Got some Raleigh people in the house. Born with two brothers, Zach and Luke.
Yep.
Moved to North Dakota when you were just 3 years old. Grew up playing high school football at Century High School. Yep. Played three sports, football, basketball, and baseball. I can relate to that. Yep. That's a lot going on, right? Also, this guy was the valedictorian of high school class. That's crazy stuff right there. Give him a round of applause for that. And just a quarterback now. Man. Carson, up front, a lot of young athletes out there.
Yeah.
Tell them a little bit about the importance of playing and living for something greater than just the game.
Yeah, no doubt. As a kid, you know, I was so infatuated with sports and all those things. And for me, it was always, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to put my best foot forward, whether that's school, relationships, friendships, sports, all of that. And so, my best foot forward was I'm full speed ahead. Full speed ahead, and I'm go, 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 and I'm going to be the best I can be in those moments. And whether it was school, you know, I knew that mattered, because, you know, for a lot of people from North Dakota, the idea of being a professional athlete, they would laugh at you. And so I said, well, I'm going to show them by being great in school, being great on the field, on the court, whatever it is. And so for me, I wish, though, when I was a kid, that I had that personal relationship with Christ, so that I knew I didn't have to do it all myself. Yeah. You know, I put a lot of pressure on myself as a kid to be the best and to prove people wrong, and which are all good things, but I did them from the wrong place. You know, I did them from the wrong place. I wish I had that relationship with Christ where he said, hey, I love you and I see you, and it doesn't matter how you do, and it would have allowed me to play freely. It all worked out, and God changed my life in college, thank God. But I wish I would have had that relationship younger and taken the pressure off me at a younger age.
I'm wondering, you know, growing up in North Dakota, right, who were you cheering for back then, yeah, NFL-wise? Who's your favorite quarterback?
So I was a Vikings fan as a kid.
Vikings, okay.
But it was very conflicted because I loved watching Brett Favre play. And so I'm like, I'm just a messed up kid. But I loved watching Brett Favre play, cheered for the Vikings, though. So yeah, pretty cool.
That's awesome. You know, as you were saying there for a second about growing up and kind of thinking you could earn it, right?
Yeah.
I've heard you speak a lot just online, you saying that you had that mentality, especially about God, that it was like you could earn his love. You had the go get it mentality, right? But like you said, when you came in as a freshman to North Dakota State, that's when God really transformed your life. And you had a guy named Dante Perez, senior at the time, that kind of took you under his wing, poured into your life, and really you guys read the New Testament together, and it transformed your whole concept of what it meant to earn or something that you could never earn, which is his love. Help us understand that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it changed my life. Because I grew up, I was a good kid. Like, I wanted to get good grades. I wanted to stay out of trouble. Listen to my parents, you know, wanted to be a good kid. And I'm like, I must be right with God because I'm a good kid. I'm a good person. And that's kind of the narrative you think. But that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
But if you're not reading that and you're just kind of making it up as you go and saying, well, this feels right. That's what it was for me. And then I got to college, and I'll never forget Dante Perez, who you mentioned, was a senior quarterback. He was the third string quarterback actually at the time. And we're sitting in the first practice stretching in our little quarterback group. And my head is spinning because I'm like, all right, we're just talking about two jet protection and what flanker drive is and all these plays. Like, my head is spinning. And he's like, hey, bro, have you ever read the Bible? And I'm like, dude, I can't talk about this right now. Like, we got practice. And I'm the freshman. I got to figure this out. But it hit me. It hit me and it resonated with me because I was definitely searching at the time. Because, you know, you leave your parents' house and it's time to grow up, make your own decisions and all of those things. And him and I ended up meeting together, like you mentioned, read through the whole New Testament. He mentored me and kind of discipled me there. And my understanding of God was kind of flipped on its head. It was no longer, hey, I got to work for that. I got to work for my salvation or earn it, which kind of went against everything I knew as an athlete, as a person growing up in North Dakota. It's work, 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 earn, earn, earn. That's how it is. It's you work for it, you earn it. You work for it, you don't work for it, you don't earn it.
Right.
And so that was just like a concept that was foreign to me, but it was incredible because it changed my perspective and it allowed me to just be free in Christ. And now I get to do it from a place of love. Like, God loves me so much. He's already taken that for me. He's done the work for me. And it's the most freeing thing ever. And now I get to serve him. Instead of I feel like I have to serve him or I have to do work for him, I get to. And I love doing that because I know he loves me whether I earn it or not.
Amen. Man, that's powerful. And I think, like you're saying, we live in a culture and society, like I was sharing a little bit earlier this morning, that preaches independence. That go get it. Go earn it. But what God preaches is completely countercultural,
100%.
Right? Be dependent on me. Yep. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Christ. Who are some other, as we talk about people fueling your life, God has placed your wife, Madison, in your life. I'm sure you've had other people just like Dante pouring into you. Who are some of those people along your way that have kind of helped you in this trajectory?
Yeah, so Dante was the first one. And really, it was actually teammates all throughout college. A teammate named Danny Lukey, teammate named Jeff Curtis, who were guys that were just kind of role players on the team and just wanted to pour into younger guys. And I was like, hey, I want that.
Yeah.
I want that. I saw something different in their lives. I saw just a passion and a love and a care for people and a positivity that I'm like, what? Something's different about those guys. And so those guys poured into me, and it was cool because it's what we're called to do. They poured into me. When I was a senior, I was pouring into younger guys. Like, it's just what we're called to do, and that's just how God created his word to go forth and for disciples to be continually made and created. So I owe those guys a whole bunch, and it's been cool. Lots of people have, you know, crossed paths with a lot of people in the NFL that have definitely encouraged me, spurred me on, stay in touch. And it's been a blessing for sure.
It's amazing. You know, I've read in several different areas that you kind of have a personal motto, which is you play for an audience of one.
Yep.
And God has really been that audience that you're ultimately seeking the applause from, the nail-scarred hands.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing. Really, it's because you've played at the highest levels and you're no stranger to success. Bro, you won 5 consecutive NCAA FCS national championships at North Dakota State. That doesn't happen, people. That's crazy, right? Then you go on to being the highest picked FCS player in the NFL draft, 2nd overall to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2016. Crazy, right? You go on have an unbelievable rookie season, sophomore campaigns going unbelievable. You're about to be an MVP, but then something drastic happens.
Yep.
Can you help these guys understand what happened?
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously a lot of football fans out there, so they know that, that year, 2017, we were 11-2 playing the Rams, and I dove into the end zone, actually scored, and my knee just, I said, something ain't right down there. Dude. It was not. I stayed in. I finished the drive. I threw a touchdown, which was a gift from God because I was just borderline throwing it away. And I came out, and I could just feel my knee just going the wrong way. And I said, something's wrong. And I was crushed. I was crushed. I was heartbroken because I couldn't be there for my teammates, for one. And we had such an incredible season going, all of those things. But it took me to a place of surrender that I had never had to go before. You know, I had my wife was my girlfriend at the time, and I was not a very good boyfriend just because I'm so used to being in control of everything. As a man, I'm like, I can control my schedule. I couldn't even control getting up from the couch to go to the bathroom by myself. Like it takes you to a place of full on surrender and just releasing control and saying, okay, God, what are you teaching me here? What are you trying to show me here? And I wrestled with it. Just saying, you know, I feel like I've given up that control, and I've always walked or talked about, you know, living on mission for God and living for an audience of one and living in surrender. But I'm like, God, this isn't what I expected it to look like, you know? So it really challenges your faith and takes you to a deeper place. But I thank God for it. I thank God for it because through all those trials, through all the fire, it's an opportunity to grow. It's where character is formed and where I can try to just dive in deeper with Christ in that personal relationship that nobody will ever see. But it's just me and God. It's just me and God, and I'm thankful for it. And it sometimes feels like you continually go through a trial, and it's all right, God, what are you showing me now? What do you want me to learn now? And I've really come to learn, if you're not in a trial, be careful, because it's coming right up. It's coming right up. It's around the corner. And just, you know, staying in constant relationship with God and saying, okay, it's your plan anyway. It's your plan. It's your life. I surrender it. I'll be obedient where you have me.
It's powerful. Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. actually founded Liberty University and Thomas River Baptist Church. He always said there's 3 types of people, right? Someone who's going into a hard time, someone in the midst of a hard time, and someone that just got out getting ready to go back in, right? Pain's inevitable in life. That's what you're saying. But what God loves to do is he loves to use our moments of powerlessness to draw us closer to his heart. Carson, as you're going through some of those tough seasons, you're learning about surrender, you're learning about dependency on him. Yep. What were some of the lessons that you feel like God taught you when it comes to patience and not wasting the season of wait?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so for me, the word surrender, I mean, it's literally the theme of my life, I feel like, because I've just always been wired to be so type A and in control, and like I go and do my thing, but it's just been a constant reminder of surrender and every aspect of that. And for me, it's, you know, okay, this didn't go how I wanted it. Am I going to dwell on it?
Right.
Or am I going to just, like I always say, just take the next right step. Take the next right step of faith. Be obedient where you have me. And so for us, I even look back to this last year. You know, we get traded to the Colts, and, you know, we're super excited, family's super excited, and we pour our heart and soul into that team, into our teammates, and my wife was leading a women's Bible study, and we just poured our heart and soul, and then we get traded, and we're like, okay, God, what now? What's next? But then we see the text messages from teammates, and she's getting teary-eyed reading texts from other women that's just like, in just 1 year, an impact that you can make reminds me, okay, God, I don't know fully what you're doing or what's at stake, but it's so much more than just a football game. It's so much more than just that, and it's relationships and connections with people that really motivates me to keep going and just, again, take that next right step of faith and be obedient, even if the window is this big or this big. What, you know, we don't know. We don't know. We're not in control.
That's right.
God's writing the story anyway.
Mm, powerful. It's not about pursuing perfection. It's about pursuing obedience toward Christ, because that then leads us to becoming more Christ-like. And that's a beautiful thing and a beautiful space to be in. Carson, in that season that you get injured, you guys go on to win the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. In 2018. Obviously, I'm sure there's tons of joy that goes with that, because you can't wait for it. You're so excited for your teammates. You played an integral role in it, getting them there, but also your competitor, right? Sure. So from watching from the sidelines, I mean, what's going through your head?
Yeah, it was a journey I had to take with Christ, honestly, and just definitely was an emotional roller coaster for me. You know, I was so overjoyed because I had such great relationship with my coaches, teammates, everybody. I wanted everybody to succeed, and it was so incredible to see it happen on the big stage and to be holding that trophy. But then I look down and I'm wearing sweats. You know, I'm wearing my sweatsuit, and it's just like, you dream of this moment as a kid,
right?
You know, you play in your backyard. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, we won the Super Bowl. All this, like you go through those things. Like, it's from the moment you pick up a football, you dream of that. But I'm in street clothes, and I'm saying, okay, I don't know what you're doing, God. And so I had to wrestle with that, and ultimately surrender that as well. But definitely an emotional journey, and again, just like the injury, it's one I'm extremely thankful for, just because it made me that much more aware of God's plan and not my plan.
Mm. You know, backstage, we were talking a little bit about identity in sport, right? It's so easy. Everyone's got an opinion. A lot of smack talk in sports, right? Not just on the field, but off the field too. I mean,
we've already heard it in here.
That's right.
I heard some boos, all sorts of stuff, right? That's part of the deal.
But like, media goes against you guys. I mean, you hear voices and noise from all over. But Carson, how do you continually rise above all of that and keep moving on and pressing on to the ultimate goal?
Yeah, if you're not grounded in the Word, it's hard to. It's hard to continue going forward and remember, okay, God, this is your plan, not mine. This is your life, not mine. This is your career, not mine. Mm. And just being obedient every moment of every day. But there's a lot of outside stuff, and there's a lot of negativity, this, that, and the other. And but at the end of the day, my identity is not as a football player. Yeah. That's what I always have to tell myself. I'm not a football player. I'm a Christ follower, and everything else, I think that's what Jason was talking about before I walked out here, and it's that. It's, okay, well, I'm a football player underneath everything else. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a husband. I'm a father. Mm. I'm a real human being, believe it or not. I go through real emotions and highs and lows and trials and everything, and I also play football. It's my job. Mm. I love it, but it doesn't define me, and so when those things happen, the moments of lots of success or lots of failure or everything in between, again, it's what I do. It's not who I am.
Exactly.
And so I have to continually remind myself that.
It's powerful. You know, I feel like our cups are never filled with success, and our cups are never emptied by failure. It's easy to lose sight of that. They're filled with the love and the joy and the peace and the forgiveness and grace and mercy of Christ, just like you're saying. Yep. It has nothing to do with the game or the results or what the scoreboard says or what someone else says. It's all about Christ and finding our identity in Him.
Amen.
Carson, there's a lot of young athletes out here right now, right? And, you know, the higher you go in sports, the tighter and smaller the skill gap gets.
Yep.
Carson, you know, to the kid out there, the best, the most elite athletes like yourself, you understand it's not the other team, it's not the other athletes that you're ultimately competing against, but you're competing against one of your greatest enemies ultimately every single day, which is yourself.
Yeah.
What do you think, what's something that you'd say to these young guys that makes somebody into an elite competitor?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors, for one.
Yeah.
A lot of factors. But I think of just a lot of, the word that comes to mind is discipline. Discipline and the details, I think. And I'm, you know, even continually trying to learn that. Just even trying to master the quarterback position since I've been in the league. There's so many small details you see, you know, veterans do that. You're like, oh, I can pick up that from my game and add that to my game and those things. And that's really what I think separates, you know, average to good, good to great, is that level of discipline and kind of having a vision. Okay, this is where I want to go. Am I going to be disciplined to work towards that? But also the details, the small details within your craft, so to speak, that are really going to separate you. And to me, that applies to any profession. It's the small details. It's the small things that are going to get you negatively or positively that are going to set you apart.
That's right. I was going through the changeology process in one of my courses, and one of the last phases, so taking action steps, being great is one thing, but then sustaining greatness is a whole different thing. It was talking about how elite competitors, what they constantly do is they reinvent themselves. So they don't just make the change and stay there. They continually adapt. They continually reach and strive for new things, that 1% better mentality. And that's really what Carson's saying. That's powerful words to you young guys that have dreams and aspirations to keep going and to every man in this room to really keep going. You know, Carson, there's a lot of craziness going on in your life.
Yep.
A lot of craziness going on, right? Man, what's just going through your head right now? Help us understand where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, when I got the call the other day, it definitely caught me off guard. I was in my backyard in Indy, and I'm like, all right, I'm getting on a flight tomorrow to go to Washington. I used to go to Washington on a train.
Fans.
I used to go to Washington on a train, and I've been there a handful of times, but I was in a different uniform, you know, and so I never envisioned that happening, but it's time to turn the page, you know? And for me, it's that same mindset. Like, there's a lot of human emotions, and I'm a human being. You know, I was on a plane 12 hours later, had no time to process it. I was a Colt, and next thing you know, I'm putting on a commander's hat, which is still new to me, new to everybody for that matter. And it's just all new, but there's no time, and it's like, okay, God, well, here I am. Here I am, and again, it's that take the next right step mentality for me, and it's a new mission field. I also feel like for me, it's okay. Well, there's a lot of people in this locker room and this organization that I've never met before. And so I get to be an ambassador for Christ there. Just like I was an ambassador for Christ in Philadelphia, in Indianapolis, and I'm not perfect.
Yeah,
I'm
give
not,
it up. That's awesome, man.
But it's the mindset that my wife and I have. It's like, okay, wherever we are, let's make the most of it. And when God closes that door, he closes that door. If that door's open for 10 years, 12 years, 1 year, it doesn't matter. We're going to make the most of it, be obedient, and be on mission for him.
Man, I'm just thinking out loud here. You know, during this difficult transition season, what are some areas specifically that all of us can be praying for you and your family? I imagine that's extremely difficult. You just get a phone call, you jump on a plane.
Yeah.
How can we be praying and intervening on your behalf for you?
I think it's just the transition that is in its own right. I mean, I got two little girls, I got a wife. It's a lot of moving pieces that all of a sudden change like that. You know, we have a foundation that was on the video there. How we handle that, it's been in Indianapolis now of the last year. There's a lot of things going on in our world, and just for wisdom and making right choices, and then just being obedient to where God has us, and the relationships and the conversations that we're going to be having with new teammates, coaches, players, all that fun stuff. Looking forward to that.
And I pray you guys would commit alongside of all of us here at Ignite to pray for Carson and his family during this transition season. I know it's a lot, but man, you just mentioned your AO1 foundation. I also found it very cool. You built a sports complex in Haiti.
Yeah.
Man, tell us a little bit about what God's doing in and through your life in the ministry that you're trying to advance the kingdom of God as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Started it in 2017. It was just my older brother and I. And we said, we don't really know where this is going, but God does. We're going to take a step of faith, a leap of faith, and just start the AO1 Foundation. And now it's got three different ministries. We have the outdoor ministry, which is really headquartered back in the Midwest, North Dakota, Indianapolis. We actually have some trips lined up in the Virginia area as well. But it's getting kids, for lack of a better term, it's kind of like a Make-A-Wish Foundation for kids that have gone through different things. But we take them on hunting trips. We take them on fishing trips. We get them in the outdoors. And then they also are introduced to the Bible, introduced to God. They have a devotional they're prayed for, which is super cool. We have a food truck that we started. It's called Thy Kingdom Crumb.
Wow.
Started that in Philadelphia.
I love that.
And we have a truck in Indianapolis now, which just goes around and gives out free food, gives out, you know, Bibles, New Testaments, different books, resources. We pray with people. We introduce them to the gospel. And then we have the sports complex in Haiti. And so Haiti's really close to my heart, really, really close to my wife's heart. And so we started a sports complex there. We partnered with a group called Mission of Hope down there, built this sports complex, which took a lot longer than I anticipated, which is normally the case with contractors in general. But when you're trying to build something in Haiti, it's even harder, I've learned. And so it's two different basketball courts underneath a covered building, locker rooms, and then we just had two turf soccer fields, which is, to me, it's unbelievable. When you fly over, like, there's just this big green field, and to these kids, to us, it's just another turf field, you know, stuff we take for granted, but to these kids, like, they've never seen turf before. And so for them to be able to come and feel loved and feel seen and really have hope, and I know what sports have done in my life and how it's helped draw me closer to God and built relationships with people, and it's the same concept. We're going to bring these kids in. They're going to play sports, feel loved, feel hope, but they're also going to grow as a man and woman of God, and it's just a really cool, the videos and stuff that I see from that are super cool and encouraging and remind me and my wife why we do what we do.
Man, show this man some love. That's amazing stuff, man. Amazing what God's doing in your life.
Appreciate
it's it. Powerful. Carson, as we close here, I want you to speak directly to these guys. This is a moment, right, that we'll never forget. This is a moment that we'll never have back.
Yeah.
I want you to share what God has placed on your heart for each man and young man in this room to spark some hope, encouragement, and motivation for them to leave this place different today.
I just think of Matthew 7, and it kind of has resonated with me just thinking through my story, my faith journey, when it's Jesus talking, hey, many will say to me on this day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? All of these things, and God said, well, depart from me, I never knew you. And for me, that's super sobering, but it's just a reminder that God doesn't want our works. God wants our heart. God wants every one of our hearts, and he wants us to physically and personally have a relationship with him, and the works will come out of that. That'll come from that. And so that's my constant challenge for myself and for y'all.
Man, God doesn't want our works. He wants our heart. If you guys want to send Carson out of this place and up to Washington with a little bit of mojo, get on your feet and please help me send off Mr. Carson Wentz. Man, everybody, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview as much as I did. It's been so incredible just to see Carson and to hear him in what's, I'm sure, a very difficult season. Just think about this. The guy was just traded, right? He has to hop on a plane, has to uproot his whole life, his family, and go to a new city. I mean, talk about a transition, talk about change. That's got to be difficult to do. But for him to still come and to share his testimony and to say the words, even when I can't track or trace God, I understand that I can still trust him, right? It might be a new city, it might be a new team, but he still has the same mission, which is to impact and influence and advance the kingdom of God like never before. That man is someone that I truly believe will always live with and play with the motto that I'm going to do everything I can for an audience of one. You guys, I hope and pray that you would become involved and be invested in his AO1 Foundation and everything that he and his brother and his family are beginning to do, because they're doing amazing things in ministry and honestly in missions across the globe for the Lord, and everything they're doing down in Haiti. It's just incredible to see what God is doing in and through the life of Carson Wentz. My prayer is that you would join me and my family and our ministries to continually pray in and through the situations that he's going through, especially in this transition season of life, that we would pray for a smooth transition, that we would pray for comfort and peace and safety and security, and that we would just really just encompass Carson as prayer warriors to let him know that he is loved and that he is prayed for like never before. God's gonna do amazing things in and through Carson Wentz's life. You can hear it from me first. I promise you, that dude's the real deal. He loves God, he loves his family, he loves his teammates, and God has something amazing in store for Carson Wentz. I'm telling you what, I may just be becoming a little Washington Commander fan, because I love Carson and I'm very thankful that he spent some time with us today. You guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week on the Built Different Podcast.